We're joined now by Lewis Hertham, who's on the other coast. He took Hollywood by storm many years ago. He's worked as a stage, television, and film star, and he is, of course, a Baton Rougean through and through. You may remember him on Murder, She Wrote. He was on that series for many episodes, but he is also one of the stars of Westworld, and rumor has it, Lewis Hertham, that it may be Emmy time for my good friend from Baton Rouge. What's going on with this?
Well, first of all, Jim, it's always a pleasure to spend time with you and the good folks down south who I love so much. Well, that's really nice of you to bring that up. I did a show called What If for Netflix with the amazing Renee Zellweger, and they have put me up for an Emmy for Best Supporting Actor in a movie or limited series and for TV. And, you know, this is the four-year consideration campaign. So this is for the voters of the Academy to vote. And when you vote, you can vote for as many people as you want in each category, and the top five people get the nomination. So I don't particularly think I have much of a chance, but I have to say it's quite an honor to, you know, to be put in this position. So thank you for bringing that up.
Hollywood is a town that is full of politics, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. And these things are somewhat of a popularity contest as well. I hate to say it, but it's true. And these days, I'm a member of the Academy, so you get screeners for every show that is out there, and there are hundreds of them. Literally hundreds, and I've never heard of most of them, and didn't even know they were in production, you know. And one of the stipulations for voting is that you have to watch at least one episode of every show. Well, it's literally impossible, but I guess they have to say that, you know.
And Lewis is involved, and we're going to cover some ground with him, but this is one of his passions at the moment. The Screen Actors Guild always has a president. Ronald Reagan's a former president. And you have a choice, a horse in the race. Who's your choice to lead the Academy?
To lead the Screen Actors Guild.
The union.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
Which is actually now called SAG-AFTRA because they merged the two unions in 2012, the American Federation of Radio and Television Artists and the Screen Actors Guild. My choice is Matthew Modine, who most people will remember in the past of the amazing Stanley Kubrick cult film Full Metal Jacket. And of late on Stranger Things. And Matthew is a 40-year veteran of the union. He is a compassionate, wonderful human being who truly understands what is happening in our industry right now, because it is changing exponentially. And with what they're calling new media, which is things like Hulu, Netflix, Amazon, Apple TV. I just did a show for Apple TV. Crackle. I mean, there are just so many of them now. So everything is sort of shifting from the norm that we've all been so used to over the last several decades, you know, from straight TV to cable TV, and now there's new media. So it has affected the residual. Residuals are one of the ways that actors are able to stay afloat when the work is thin, and that always happens. I don't care how far you get in your career or how big the name your name is in the industry. I think your listeners and everybody would be shocked if they knew. I mean, I know actors that you would think that, well, they're never out of work because they've been around so long, they have such amazing careers, that they're such talented people, but it happens. And so residuals have always been that sort of fail-safe to keep you afloat, and those are just literally vanishing. The producers, fortunately for them, they aren't losing any money. And what's happening, really, I don't blame producers. I don't blame them at all. They're really good negotiators. I feel that the negotiators for our team have been lacking and for quite a while. So we want to go in and take back some of the things that we've lost. Matthew is ready to fight that fight. And so, yeah, I'm backing him. In fact, we're doing a fundraiser in New Orleans on Saturday night, the 29th, at the 7-3 Distillery Company, who had donated their facility and their wonderful libations. I guess libations is the correct word. Also, Chez de la Chase, Drago's, Italian Pie, Superior Grill, Louisiana Seafood, Power Ass Po' Boys, Rosemary and Rue, and Voodoo Sweets are donating food. So it's a fundraiser. If you go to ModineFR.com, Modine, BayouFR.com, you can buy a ticket and come have some fun with us. Matthew will be there, and there'll be some other guests and celebrities that will surprise everybody.
All right, and that's in New Orleans this Saturday.
Yes, sir.
All right.
Thanks for asking.
Well, Matthew Modine, I think he made the best Vietnam movie of them all in Full Metal Jacket, Stanley Kubrick's Full Metal Jacket. 1987, difficult to believe it's been 32 years, but what a film that was.
Mm-hmm. It really was. It's great to hear him tell stories about that film. Avery, the gentleman that plays the sergeant, he was not supposed to have that role. He was supposed to be just a consultant, and for the man that was to play that role, and he ended up getting that role. Matthew tells a, I hate to talk poorly about the deceased, but he said he was always in his face screaming at him, and he had horrible breath. But he said other than that, he was a wonderful guy.
Well, it was a great film, and.
Great film. Broke out a lot of young actors. Yeah. Ellis Howard, Vincent D'Onofrio.
Adam Baldwin was in that film.
Adam Baldwin, absolutely. Yeah. They're very good friends to this day. All of those guys.
877-217-5757 for our friend Lewis Hertham. Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Phil, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, Mr. Hertham, and I just got to congratulate you.
Hey, buddy.
I mean, who would have thought that from the days of father's favorite son to where you are now? I mean, good on you, sir. Good on you. And also relevant that plot would be right now of that film. But I also have a serious question. What do you think about the, I mean, just the hours now that that the guys have to work? I mean, generally, between 50 and 70 hours a week.
All right, we're going to get Lewis to respond to Phil's question. And the number again is 877-217-5757. We'll take a short break and return more with Lewis Hertham on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Eakster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle producing, and your number again is 877-217-5757. And our guest is Lewis Hertham, who's in California, where he does his thing and has for over 30 years now. He left Baton Rouge, said he wanted to be a star on the stage and the small screen and the big screen, and he has done it well. Of course, is now one of the stars of Westworld. And before we went to the break, Lewis, Phil in Jefferson Terrace asked about the workload for actors and others in the business. It can be confounding at times.
Yes, it can. Well, first of all, Phil, it's always good to hear from you, buddy. And Phil was such a big part of the start of my producing career, he and his brother, when I came down there in 96 and filmed Favorite Son. But Phil's right, and this is one of the things that actors have lost in recent negotiations is the turnaround time. But I will say this, as long as the hours are for actors, the crew are the ones that they're there before the actors get there, and they're there after the actors leave. And it's really ridiculous. I mean, to work especially in the job that Phil does, which is a lighting department, there's a lot of heavy equipment that's being moved, the grips as well. Most all of those positions, they're physical labor. And they work these ridiculous hours, 16-hour days, sometimes more, and then they have to drive home. And there have been accidents. People have literally been killed, falling asleep, and died by crashing after falling asleep. And so it's a really big issue. So, Phil, it's something that is very much on the mind of Matthew Modine, but not just for actors, but it affects everyone. And I was working in Vancouver recently, and we were working long hours, and the actors were, a lot of us were just talking about it. It's like, this is ridiculous. It doesn't make sense. And it's like, why do these days have to be so long? And they've always been that way. And the answer is, saves money.
Let's go to Johnny downtown. Johnny, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Lewis Hertham. Hi, Johnny.
Good morning. Good morning, Jim. Good morning, Lewis. Just wanted to say how proud we are of you in Baton Rouge. And I know Uncle Lewis is looking down on you from heaven, just grinning and smiling, as proud as he could be.
All right. I think that's Johnny Palazzotto.
He's talking about Harold.
Uncle Harold, yeah. Uncle Harold, who was quite an actor himself.
Yes, he was. That's Johnny Palazzotto, for those who don't know.
Yeah. And when did you decide this is what you wanted to do?
Well, you know, it's funny. I just had this conversation with my daughter. I actually decided at 12 years old, when my dad took me to the Hart Theater to see Bullet with Steve McQueen, that's when I decided I wanted to be in show business, but I wanted to be a stuntman. I said, Dad, I want to drive cars like that in movies. And so I followed that dream all through high school and the little bit of college that I went to. And then Dee Cawthorn, who was a local agent at the time, put the play The Rainmaker in my hand and said, read this and then go audition for the play. And I was scared to death, but I did it, and ended up getting the lead in that play, Starbuck, and Frank Pope directed. Mm-hmm. And rest was history. Within less than a year, I was out here in California joining the herd of struggling actors. But it was, you know, I wouldn't trade it for the world. It was an extraordinary experience.
Well, you had the look, and the look has changed. You're an older guy,
but
you have a face that you can play almost anybody, can't you?
Well, you know, I'd like to think so, but you do get sort of typecast, especially when you have what people here in the business would refer to as a blue collar look, you know, kind of a, you know, got a roadmap face and, you know, kind of a rugged look. But I have been able to play some different parts, especially like in this show, What If. It was a terrific character, unlike any I've ever played before. And so I think the more work you do and the more people see a range there, then the more they're willing to explore and give you a chance to do something different.
You can't be ruggedly handsome, as you're often described, and be woefully out of shape. You also have to work on your physical fitness, don't you?
Yes, you do. And those of us in this age range will know it's not that easy. It just becomes harder and harder. I have this show coming up called Home Before Dark for Apple TV. I was in Vancouver for 4 months from January to April, and I've never been a big ice cream person. I enjoy it occasionally, but I don't know what happened, Jim, but I got into ice cream, and I came back about 10 pounds heavier. Now, no, not good, so I'm still working that off, but it's not too hard. But yes, you have to stay in shape.
Well, in Louisiana and in other states, but we're in Louisiana, we've had major discussions through the years about the wisdom of film tax credits. I think I know your mm-hmm. point of view, but do you believe that they pay more than what meets the eye?
Well, there's no question they pay more than meets the eye. And I also, listen, I completely understand the standpoint of the citizen in Louisiana that knows that more money needs to be spent on things like education. You know, they hit a pothole and they call their rep and say, hey, you know, just have to spend $200 fixing my tire. You know, why don't you fix these roads? And excuse the sirens in the background. That's a pretty common occurrence here. But the truth is it's an economic development for the area, just as it is any other industry. Right now, the industry in Georgia, the film industry, is a $2.7 billion a year industry. In Louisiana, it had gotten up to about 1.4, 1.5, as I recall, when the legislature decided to, change the tax incentive rules. And so I understand the situation, the position that a layman will have that doesn't understand or doesn't get involved in the industry. But it really creates enormous amount of economic development. I mean, the money that is spent, it's very beneficial. I know you got it.
As far as your career, Lewis, a listener asks about whether Westworld was a game changer, and you've been around long enough that you would have had a successful career without Westworld, but still, it's made an important contribution to your work of your body of work, hasn't it? Are you getting something?
I'm hearing something in my ear here, Jim.
What about Westworld? Can you respond to how Westworld has been a factor?
Changed things.
Yeah.
It was an extreme game changer, almost overnight. You know, you hear about these overnight successes. I mean, I was doing pretty well before, but it just launched me into a whole different category. And what I was talking about earlier about how some actors, no matter what, you're gonna go through some bad spots. We shot the pilot for Westworld in August and September of 2014. It did not air until October of 16. So for two full years, that thing, I knew it was going to change my career. I knew it was because of the nature of the work and the nature of the role, really. And so that first three quarters of 2016 was the worst three quarters I had in over a decade. And then Westworld airs on October 2nd, 2016, and the next day everything's changed. And so instead of auditioning for everything, you're getting offers. And it's what we all work for. It would have been nice if it had happened 20 years earlier, but hey, you know, better late than never.
Well, congratulations on your continuing success. Hope that Emmy comes. And again, for those who want to meet or visit with Lewis, if you already know him, and meet Matthew Modine, Saturday night, New Orleans. The website again is
Modine, M-O-D-I-N-E, BayouFR.com, which stands for fundraiser. Go there. It's a fundraiser, so you buy a ticket by making a donation, and then we'll see you there. And all the good food and drink you can have, make sure you get an Uber, because it will be flowing. And we'll see you there.
Thank you, Lewis. Always a pleasure.
Thank you, Jim. Always a pleasure.
See you soon.
Okay, bye-bye, buddy.
And we do want to note that Dave Bartholomew, the producer, arranger, composer, trumpet player, and band leader who had a major hand in the shaping of New Orleans rhythm and blues and early rock and roll, died yesterday in New Orleans, 100 years old. He was an influential figure who worked mainly behind the scenes. Dave Bartholomew was best known for the hits he produced for and wrote with Fats Domino, including Ain't That a Shame, originally released under the name Ain't It a Shame, and Blue Monday. Dave Bartholomew, born December 24th, 1918, and signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from Brian Lowe Financial.